760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, welcome to the award-winning It's Your Money and Your Life. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you live from KFMB with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, L.A. County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, down to Cabo, out to the desert. And now time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire. He's an accomplished marathon runner. He's a best-selling author. He's a philanthropist. He's a family office expert advising several high-net-worth families, all-around good guy. His name is Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening. How are you tonight?
I'm doing all right, Joe. Hey, did you drink too much coffee?
No.
I'm just wondering.
I always, I got to rush. We have a big show tonight.
Oh, you have to rush. Okay. I'm just curious.
Okay. I still drink coffee, but I tell you, I'm still off the wheat. And folks, if you got a rash or an allergy, I swear, I've done this for 3 weeks. Get off all wheat and gluten and but just any crackers, breads, anything. Try that for a month. And I'm trying to avoid sugars, too. I don't drink any soda, as you know, Richard. But
that's good. You shouldn't.
But
it's not good for you.
But my rash cleared up, so everyone I want you should know.
I was going to say, it's too much information.
And my allergies are at bay. So I'm just throwing it out there for you and yourself, too, Richard. You might want to check it out for a month.
I eat very little bread for an Italian.
Well, I just think everyone should just go off of the wheat for a month and see how you feel. So, hey, let's see. NCAA, remember last week I said, I've taken one of the Michigan teams, or either one, and boy, they got...
Yeah, where'd you take them, Joe?
They were gone by the time I think I got off the air, and then, of course, you like Florida. I think everyone kind of
Everybody
liked Florida.
Everybody liked Florida. UConn was unbelievable after trailing by 12. They just rolled over Florida.
Yeah, so that's not... Maybe you kind of have to favor UConn at this point. Who knows? No one won the billion, right?
Nobody won the billion.
Anyway, I know we had a show a few weeks ago about the gentleman involving healthcare, and I just want everyone to know there are physicians out there that still want to try for a universal healthcare plan, and there's a group called the Drive for Universal Healthcare, and if you go to duh4all.org, there's information there about they're going to be showing a film called The Healthcare Movie based on the Canadian model, and that's going to be at UCSD's Price Center Ballroom B. But all the information is there, and that's going to be April 10th and 11th, I believe, 11 and 12, and that's a Saturday, Sunday, both I think about 3:30 in the afternoon. And then there's the Stars and Stripes Ball for the USO, sandiego.org. Go there. That's coming up in a few weeks, and I told Rena I would mention that as well because that's another good cause. But on the line, we have probably the most senior and one of the best journalists in town, bar none, and I think he does more good journalism from out of state than 90% of our journalists in state. And
all of our in-town journalists now have the same employer, so it makes it challenging.
Anyway, he used to appear on KUSI, and he's I think he was with the UT a number of years. We can double-check that. You'd see him almost every week in the Reader. It's the first thing I turn to see what Don Bowder has to say, and Don's in Colorado tonight. So, Don, how are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. How are you doing?
We're doing great. And I know you've got Wisconsin on, your alma mater. I think they're at halftime, right?
I don't know.
It's about one minute before halftime.
Then I won't miss anything.
Second half will start right at about 7:30, Don, just so you know.
Well, if you want to yell and scream, I know you have the TV on in the background.
No, I'm in my office.
Okay.
So I don't have, it's not on right now.
Okay,
so
good.
I'm giving 100% attention to you.
Oh, that's wonderful.
All right, thanks.
When did you start doing journalism in San Diego, Don? It's been a while.
I came in 1973.
Wow.
I had been with the Business Week magazine for 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, before that, I was in advertising and PR for 4 years.
Huh.
And then with Business Week. And then I was with the Union Tribune as financial editor and financial columnist for 30 years and left there in 2003 and started writing for the Reader. So I've been covering San Diego for, something like 41 years.
Wow.
And I'm an old man, obviously. I mean, I'll be 78 in next month, but... I've been doing it for a long time.
But going strong. I bet you have a Rolodex that's second to none, huh? You must have a ton of contacts and people, huh?
Well, Well, yeah, and you know, you get, there's so much you can do online these days, and of course, you still use the telephone, and so I managed to do it. It's you know, and I enjoy it. I'm still enjoying it at my old age, and as long as you're loving it, you might as well keep doing it.
Yeah, right? Well, we love reading your stuff. So I know Richard and I, the main reason we wanted to book you tonight was to talk about this dust-up and snafu and tragedy with our San Diego Opera. And I know you've been a fan and a donor and a subscriber. And so what's your latest take on everything? And then, Richard,
well,
you could jump in on the technical.
I've been... I was on both the board and the advisory board of the opera over 30 years, and was a major donor of Bravissimo something or other, and the thing just obviously broke my heart, and the fact that it came as abruptly as it did, was terrible.
Yeah,
because the staff didn't know, you know, the stagehands didn't know, nobody knew. It
I know,
just came up all of a sudden.
Yeah, I know Ian Campbell was getting interviewed about that, and he said, well, I would go out on stage for the last 3 years. Well, for the folks who haven't, you know, been at every opera, I mean, where was it as far as the press goes? I mean, why didn't where was the press release?
You know, we didn't know.
Yeah.
And
if you don't know,
and,
nobody
you
knows.
You know, most of the board members really didn't know how bad it was, or how bad they're saying it is. And we'll hopefully get into that, because there are things that were not done that should have been done. There were big mistakes that were made by Ian Campbell and his ex-wife, Ann Campbell, who basically dominated the company. And so the board, you know, really didn't know. So now there's a group on the board that is demanding more information, which they haven't got the last time I checked. And there's another group that has organized of board members to save the opera. And then there is a petition going around that has more than 20,000 signatures of people saying, you know, we've got to do this. Now, having said that, you know, my wife and I have been going to operas as long as we've been married, which is 52 years. We love opera. We listen to opera every night, and we you know, listen to DVDs or watch DVDs or listen to CDs. But there is no question that opera, particularly grand opera, is in the early stages of a death spiral. It is going down. It breaks our heart, but it is going down.
But you could do something less than grand opera, right?
Well, yes, and you could do fewer. And one of the questions that I have had, and I've said this in the Reader a number of times, you know, they went down from 5 to 4 operas, and then suddenly they said, okay, we're going to go out of business. Why didn't they go to 2 operas?
Right.
But John, let's back up a second. When when you see nonprofits' assets drop over a 6 or 7 year period from 32 or 33 million to 15 or 16 million, shouldn't that be a clue that there's something going on in terms of a negative trend?
Well, there was something going on, and the attendance was dropping, no question. The attendance started dropping in 2006.
Right, it was before the recession.
Before the onset of the Great Depression, the recession. And it's been going down, and donations have been going down as well. So it's high, and also if you look all around the United States, it's not so bad in Europe, but in the United States, even the Metropolitan Opera in New York is in trouble. And they, you know, opera is dying a slow death. But okay, there are light operas that San Diego Opera has done very well, like Merry Widow and
Pirates
of Fledermaus, and or you could do Gilbert and Sullivan. The Lyric Opera in Chicago is doing Carousel. You know, they're doing, and other opera companies that are doing American musical comedies. And but Ian Campbell would have none of it.
And you could do recitals, too, right? I mean, just with opera.
Well, yes. Recitals is another thing. And then If you go to Baroque opera, although Baroque opera Handel and so on has not done well at the box office in San Diego, to our great despair, because we love Handel operas, but they have not done that well. But you can have recitals. There are operas that are done that have very few characters. Mm-hmm. There are a number of ways that there are savings.
Right.
Plus, you don't always have the top tier singers.
Right.
You can go not only to second tier, but you can go to third tier,
mm-hmm.
and still put on a wonderful opera.
Yeah, there's a lot of talent out there, just like college sports and professional sports. I mean, your second stringers are as good as your first stringers.
Well, an analogy is professional golfers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are probably 100 of them that are absolutely, or maybe 200 of them, that are absolutely superb.
Mm-hmm.
And in any given tournament, somebody, you know, is going to beat Tiger Woods. And, so the third-tier singers in opera are very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
And so... that's another thing, but Ian Campbell would have nothing of that. I mean, he was bringing in Ferruccio Ferlinetto, who is probably one of the greatest basses going,
mm-hmm.
and he was wonderful. I loved him. I saw him, Boris Godunov, several operas that he did. He was wonderful,
mm-hmm.
but Ian could have brought in less expensive talent.
Gotcha.
And at least tried that.
Yeah.
I mean, for heaven's sakes, attendance has been going down since 06.
Yeah.
That's 8 years.
Yeah, but Don, let's take a break right now. That's good. We'll get into some more of the get into the numbers in a bit. We got a little opera coming up to take us to our commercial break, and we'll talk to you in a minute, okay?
Okay.
Okay, hang on.
Ogni paese è testimone di sue donne sempre.
All right, we are back. How was that for a segue, Mr. Don Bowder?
That's wonderful.
We sing you on and sing you off around here.
Hey, Don, I want to ask about possible solutions, since we all know that the Campbells were overcompensated, and we all know that the amount of rent that the opera paid for the premises was ridiculously high, and all that money's gone. But you sort of touched on one of the possible solutions, bringing in lighter fare, doing less ornate and complicated operas, making it more relevant to the average San Diegan. I've always believed that the San Diego Opera has never been that relevant to the average San Diegan. It's been a very, shall we say, esoteric kind of fare. But I have a couple of other thoughts. I think one of the opera's challenges has been that their board has been very insular and not diverse, and there are certain people on the board that basically support Ian Campbell no matter what he decides, and then the rest of the board seems to sit, well, shall we say, somewhat passively by.
Well, yeah, and really the number of people on that inside group is probably Ian and his ex-wife, Anne Campbell, and then maybe three other people.
Yeah, out of what, a board of 50, board. 50 or 60
people. They were the ones, and they
board.
Kept everything secret, and they were the ones that made the big decisions. And you had a board of 58, which
58, okay.
is entirely too many people.
Yeah, you can't function with 58.
No. And so another thing that happened is that when they were going to take the vote to dissolve the opera, they didn't put it on the agenda.
Huh.
People didn't know. So only 34 people showed up, and they voted 33-1 because they were showing a chart and said, we can't, you know, and they voted. Okay, now they have basically changed. The last vote was 34-5 in the other direction because after all of them realized they hadn't been given information. And as I said earlier, as far as I know, they still haven't been given.
That might have been a violation of their bylaws for all.
Yes, it's a violation,
of California law, I think.
And it's a violation of state law.
Right. Mm.
And now it could be that they've been given the information now. I don't know. But it was just a couple of days ago they hadn't been. And so there's something wrong. And as you mentioned, a lot of it was Ian Campbell and his wife were overcompensated. Ian Campbell in 2009 told me, oh, my gosh, this is terrible. We're going to all of these problems. But he and his wife combined made $973,000. So then the next year when they started making cuts, they made over $1 million. So they didn't take the hit. Now, the next couple of years, I think they did take a hit. But, you know, they should have been setting the example.
Right.
And they weren't. And that was, and I don't know, it was set by a committee. Their pay was set by a committee. I don't know where that committee was or what it was doing. I don't know where the audit committee was. The audit committee should have been informing the rest of the board how bad things were.
And then labor now has a gripe. They say that they never were consulted. You know, they might be willing to make some concessions to save it.
Sure.
You know?
And, well, sure. Labor could be could make concessions. Mm-hmm. It normally does in the private sector and in nonprofits.
Yeah.
And they should have been consulted. The staff didn't know.
Yeah.
You know that the staff was getting ready to send out brochures for the 2015 season.
Oh, my gosh.
And the same day that they made the announcement, they came in and said, don't send out the brochures to the printer.
Yeah.
And they said, well, you know, one of the stars must have decided they couldn't come or something like that. But then they find out that the board has voted to suspend operations immediately.
Something smells in Denmark.
But Don, here's the thing that really has interested me about the opera and Ian Campbell. I don't know how old Ian is, but I think he's probably in his mid-60s.
Mid-60s.
Yeah. And a lot of things have changed, obviously, over the years, and the results are now showing. But they've never had, and I would think they should have looked at this 5 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago, there's never been a succession plan in place for new leadership or succession leadership to Mr. and the former Mrs. Campbell.
Yeah,
nobody's been groomed.
No, absolutely true.
Cultivate.
And I don't know how you can expect any entity, whether it's nonprofit or for-profit, to continue to prosper and grow unless accommodations are made and plans are made to bring in another generation behind the senior generation.
Right.
And I realize his style of management is such that that probably never would have worked anyway.
Yeah.
But it's beyond belief to me that was just never something that was really ever considered.
It was not something that was considered, and there's still a lot of questions. The chairwoman of the opera is insisting that they will get nothing. If the opera closes, they get nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But then the next thing she did was she did an op-ed for the Union Tribune, and she said, well, they have to get in line with the other creditors. So those two statements they're contradictory.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing that we've been battling over.
And the thing that puzzles me, they have $15 million in reserve. I think they should spend their last dime on opera. You know, what's going to happen to that money in reserve, you know?
Well, they have no debt.
Yeah.
So they did not try the very logical things. And as I say, the most logical to me was to drop down to two operas.
Mm-hmm.
And then hopefully start up again, and then of course do possibly lighter fare. And it's my understanding he didn't want to have anything to do with that. Although one time, now this was probably 20 years ago, he told me in a private conversation he'd like to do a Gilbert and Sullivan,
mm-hmm.
but they never did. They never tried anything like that. So here you guys are both familiar with what goes on in the private sector. You have something that's declining from beginning in 06, and nobody came up with a plan. Nobody addressed this thing and said, you know, what do? We're going downhill.
This is 8 years ago. I mean,
yeah,
that's a lot of time.
8 years ago. I mean,
well, like I said, the assets have been cut in half over that time.
Yeah, right. And so this has been sliding, and they didn't try anything new. And, you know, they stuck with the same old formula. And then all of a sudden, boom, they say, okay, we're going out of business. Well, you know, if you do that in the private sector, you know, you deserve to be hanged, I guess, or something. you just can't let a company, say, go downhill that long without coming up with a new model.
Yeah, it's puzzling to me.
Well, obviously, the most important thing with a potential new model here would be new leadership.
Right.
I'm referring not only to Ian Campbell but
yes,
as well as probably most of the composition of the board.
Right. Right. There's a lady. This happened just two nights ago or one night ago. Maybe it was last night. There was a lady who did pledge $1 million.
Wow,
and if you
great.
Read between the lines of her statement, she didn't come out saying it overtly, but she was really saying, hey, we need new leadership, just as you say. And I think it's very obvious to everybody when you look back and say, you know, things have been wrong for as long as they have. You know, why didn't anybody on the board say, hey, what are we doing different? What are we doing wrong? What should we be doing?
Well, I think we're answering those questions, Don, and you're shaking them up, and we got to come up on our break here. But we really appreciate you being with us. We hope we can check in with you from time to time because you're a great resource and a great asset for San Diego. So thank you for being with us, and good luck with the Badgers, okay?
Okay, my pleasure.
All right, thanks, sir. Don. Go Badgers.